This is episode 662 of the AWS podcast, released on April 8, 2024.
Welcome, everyone, to the AWS podcast. It's always weird doing this without Simon, our fearless leader. I feel like such an imposter opening it up, Shruti. I mean, how do you feel right now with him not here?
It is weird. You're right. But you're leading and you are as fearless.
Well, I'm
as fearless as Simon is. So
well,
I feel very well led and well protected. But
well, I think I feel comfort because you're here. So at least there's two of us.
That's right.
And we've got a good number of updates. So let's kick things off with analytics. So we've got AI recommendations for descriptions is now available in Amazon Data Zone. Another one from Data Zone. So Data Zone launches enhancements to Amazon Redshift. Amazon Data Zone is used by customers to catalog, discover, analyze, share, and govern data at scale across organizational boundaries with governance and access controls. Today, Amazon Data Zone has introduced several enhancements to its Redshift integration, and this simplifies the process of publishing and subscribing to Redshift tables and views. These updates streamline the experience for both data producers and consumers, making it easy for them to create a data warehouse environment using pre-configured credentials and connection parameters provided by their Data Zone administrators. Amazon Aurora Zero ETL integration with Amazon Redshift now announces support for data filtering and CloudFormation. Amazon MSK Connect now supports deleting worker configurations and tagging resources. And last one, Amazon FinSpace and managed KDB Insights now supports KDB database maintenance.
Great. Okay, so I have one quick update under application integration. AWS B2B Data Interchange now enables fully automated event-driven electronic data interchange or EDI workflows by publishing events to Amazon EventBridge for all successful and failed transformations.
And one quick update on blockchain. Amazon Managed Blockchain Query now supports listing unspent transaction outputs, which enables developers to quickly and easily build applications on the Bitcoin mainnet and testnet blockchain networks. Developers can now simplify their transaction creation workflows on Bitcoin by using the AMB Query List Filter Transaction Events API to obtain all of the unspent transaction outputs owned by an address. Developers can also optimize their Bitcoin transaction tracking workflows by using the List Filter Transaction Events API to determine the transaction IDs of all of the transaction outputs that were spent by an address.
Next up, we have business applications. Amazon Chime SDK provides API endpoints for media pipelines in Seoul, Mumbai, Sydney, Tokyo, Canada, and London. A lot of expanded regional support there on the API endpoints on Chime SDK. And Amazon Workmail now supports audit logging, which allows you to get insights into mailbox access patterns. AWS App Fabric now supports Dynatrace as a compatible security tool.
Next up, compute, and we've got some good ones. So Amazon EC2 C7GN Metal instances are now available. Customers are able to view the latest macOS versions supported on their EC2 Mac dedicated host, which enables them to proactively validate if their dedicated host can support instances with their preferred macOS versions. Amazon LightSail expands Blueprint selection with support for Alma Linux 9. AWS Batch now offers multi-container jobs through the AWS Management Console. The multi-container jobs feature makes it easier and faster for you to run simulations when testing complex systems like those used in autonomous vehicles and robotics. With the ability to run multiple containers in a job, you can benefit from the advanced scaling, scheduling, and cost optimization capabilities of AWS Batch without rebuilding your system into a complex monolithic container. Instead, you can use multiple smaller module containers that each represent different system components like a 3D virtual environment, robot perception sensors, or a data logging sidecar. AWS Parallel Cluster 3.9 is now generally available. Amazon Linux announces a new quarterly update with AL2023.4, which is available on EKS-optimized AMIs. And last is AWS Compute Optimizer now supports 51 new instance types. This one's really good. If you aren't using Compute Optimizer, I definitely recommend bookmarking. It is super handy. So the newly supported instance types include the latest generation of the M6 ID, the Compute Optimized instances of the C7i, Memory Optimized instances R7i, X2IDN, X2IEDN, High Performance Computing Optimized instances, so the HPC7A, and metal-sized instances for C7GD, R7GD, and M7GD. This expands the total EC2 instance type supported by Compute Optimizer to 702. Now we've got one quick update in cost management. AWS announces a 7-day window to return savings plans. How exciting!
Okay, next up is customer engagement, and we have a few updates for Amazon Connect. Amazon Connect now makes it easier for you to create interactive chat experiences using step-by-step guides to help resolve issues faster and improve the customer experience. You can now configure step-by-step guides in the communications widget to quickly create self-service chat and post-chat experiences using dynamic components, including drop-down lists, date time pickers, and forms. If chats are escalated to an agent, agents can see the context from the self-service interaction, enabling them to provide personalized and efficient service. Guided chat experience using step-by-step guides is supported in US East, US West, Seoul, Singapore, Sydney, Tokyo, Canada, Frankfurt, and London regions. Amazon Connect Contact Lens now provides businesses with the ability to automatically submit agent performance evaluations. Amazon Connect Contact Lens now provides generative AI-powered post-contact summaries, which summarize long customer conversations into succinct, coherent, and context-rich contact summaries. That's really cool to see generative AI in action across so many of our products. This is one example with Amazon Connect Contact Lens and these well-summarized customer conversations. And finally, the Amazon Connect Agent Workspace now supports third-party applications in general availability. Agents can use Amazon Connect's native agent applications alongside internal or custom-built agent applications, all within a unified agent workspace. For example, when the customer calls about an order, the agent workspace can automatically open a third-party shipment tracking application and display the details of the customer's order, saving the agent from needing to navigate multiple applications or manually search for information to solve an issue. With support for third-party applications within the agent workspace, customers can reduce agent handle time and data entry errors, leading to improved customer satisfaction. Third-party applications are available in US East, US West, Cape Town, Seoul, Singapore, Sydney, Tokyo, Canada, Frankfurt, and London regions.
Now, on to databases. Amazon DynamoDB now supports resource-based policies. DynamoDB also now supports AWS Private Link. Amazon RDS custom for Oracle now supports X2IEZN instances. These instances are designed to deliver high EBS optimized throughput and IOPS to enhance performance for Oracle database workloads that require high I/O and that process large datasets in memory. AWS announces reserved instances for Amazon Aurora Postgres optimized reads. Amazon RDS multi-AZ deployments with readable standby instances now support C6GD database instances. AWS License Manager now allows you to track IBM DB2 licenses on Amazon RDS. Up next is developer tools. AWS Code Build now supports custom images for AWS Lambda Compute. AWS Code Build now supports GitLab and GitLab self-managed. Amazon Code Catalyst announces a new runtime Docker image for customers to use with their build and test actions within workflows, along with the ability to choose between curated images. The new image contains updated tooling, including Node 18. And Amazon Corrado 22 is now generally available. This version supports the latest OpenJDK feature release and is available on Linux, Windows, and macOS.
Next up, we have some machine learning updates. Knowledge Bases for Amazon Bedrock now supports Claude 3 Sonnet. So this is a new model now that will be supported within Knowledge Bases. Knowledge Bases basically securely connects foundation models to internal company data resources for RAG, or Retrieval Augmented Generation. And RAG enables you to deliver more relevant, context-specific, and accurate responses. So now, within Knowledge Bases, this new model, Claude 3 Sonnet, will be supported, giving customers more optionality as they explore these RAG-type solutions. AWS announces the Bedrock GenAI chatbot blueprint in Amazon Code Catalyst. Code Catalyst customers can use this blueprint to quickly build and launch a generative AI chatbot with Amazon Bedrock and Anthropic's Claude. This blueprint helps development teams build and deploy their own secure, login-protected LLM playground that can be customized to their data. With this blueprint, teams can personalize their chatbots through custom instructions and external knowledge. So as an example, you can build a chatbot-driven knowledge base on top of documentation and code repositories. Amazon SageMaker now provides capability to enable existing Studio Classic domains to opt into the new SageMaker Studio experience via SageMaker console.
Up next is management and governance. AWS is pleased to announce 4 new industry and domain-specific lenses to the lens catalog within the AWS well-architected tool. This update gives customers access to additional expert-authored lenses so they can better tailor their review to focus on industry-specific and technology-focused topics most relevant to their business. So these are the connected mobility lens, which is for IoT and machine learning for automotive companies, the government lens, which is for compliance, security, and scalability for public sectors functions. The DevOps guidance lens aims to speed up innovation while adhering to regulatory norms. The migration lens, which delivers an effective approach for transferring workloads to AWS efficiently. And then last is the data analytics lens, which has been updated to offer additional insights into analytics. So these are all super useful. I would say just the well-architected tool overall as a whole. And then specifically, if your company follows under either one of these use cases, or there's others as well that are in the well-architected tool, you should totally check it out and run a review yourself. Amazon CloudWatch Logs now supports increased default API quotas. The default quota for ingesting logs has increased from 1,500 to 5,000 transactions per second in select regions. The increased quotas are available automatically with no changes required. AWS Systems Manager now supports RHEL 8.9 and 9.3. AWS announces the general availability of package group configuration in AWS Code Artifact. Now we've got one quick update in media services. AWS Elemental Media Tailor now supports program rules in channel assembly.
Next up, we have networking and content delivery. AWS Global Accelerator adds support for 5 new Amazon CloudWatch metrics: active flow count, packets processed, TCP AGA reset count, TCP client reset count, and TCP endpoint reset count. AWS Global Accelerator extends Bring Your Own IP Address, or BYOIP, to enable sharing IP space across accounts. You can configure cross-account BYOIP by creating a cross-account attachment, which defines the resources to share and the principals that have permission to access them. For BYOIP, the resource is a CIDR block that you've already provisioned and advertised, and the principals are accounts that have accelerator resources. After you create the attachment, you can choose an IP address from the CIDR block to create an accelerator in another account. You can configure BYOIP by using standard AWS tools, including the AWS Management Console, AWS SDK, as well as the AWS CLI. There is no additional charge when you use the BYOIP feature in Global Accelerator.
Now on to security, identity, and compliance. You can now set all Amazon EC2 instance launches in your account to use Instance Metadata Service version 2 by default. You can now use IAM roles anywhere to obtain temporary security credentials for workloads that run outside of AWS that are valid for up to 12 hours. You can use those temporary security credentials to sign and authenticate any AWS request. Previously, the temporary security credentials vended by IAM roles anywhere were valid for up to 1 hour. Now you have the ability to optimize the number of create session requests made to IAM roles anywhere by extending the credentials' validity for a longer duration to meet your business needs. The duration can range from 15 minutes to 12 hours, with a default value of 1 hour. AWS announces the general availability of package group configuration in AWS Code Artifact. Customers can now define groups of packages and apply package origin controls to the groups, enhancing security and preventing software supply chain attacks. Shruti, I know machine learning is your jam, all things in your world. So were there any updates from that list that stood out to you within machine learning?
Oh, let's see. I think definitely the availability of Claude 3 Sonnet in knowledge bases is interesting, because ultimately, you know, having the choice of a variety of models is really important. And RAG is a really popular approach that customers are exploring. And yeah, so having that flexibility of choosing the right model to be able to create more relevant and more accurate responses, I think is interesting. And then I was also like impressed by the Bedrock Gen AI chat blueprint in Code Catalyst. It's just really awesome to see generative AI kind of penetrating all of our services in some way or the other. In this case, to be able to sort of build this chatbot-driven knowledge base on top of existing code repositories or existing code documentation is a huge ability. So those two definitely were interesting.
Those are such good callouts. The ones for me that stood out for customers are the well-architected lenses. I think well-architected is such a fantastic framework, no matter what your business is, especially the ones that are now, there are lenses for specific industries and specific use cases. So those are always great to check out. And then the compute optimizer, something that I find, at least with the startups I work with, I find myself recommending it at least once a month. So if it's definitely something, if you haven't used it, go check it out. And especially now that there's more instances available, it's definitely great. So Shruti, where can people go and find you on the internet?
Shruti Koperkar on X, or just find me on LinkedIn. I will be responsive on any of those platforms.
Love it. And on X, you can find me, Miss Jill Ford. You can also find us on the AWS podcast landing page, which is aws.amazon.com/podcasts. And there is a big button that says submit questions and feedback. And if you click that button and actually give us feedback, we will look at it. We get those emails. I get those emails. Shruti gets those emails. Simon gets those emails. And I've even responded to customers. So please, we love to hear your feedback. What are some topics you want to hear? Anything that we can do to improve the show. And thank you again for listening to this episode on the AWS podcast. And until next time, when it'll be Simon back again leading, keep on building.